Well, the Freedom Flotilla, equipped with over 5,000 tons of aid and 800 activists from over 30 nations, is set to depart for Gaza on Friday, that is tomorrow, the 26th of April, 2024. Reports in Israeli media suggest that the Israeli authorities are preparing to intercept it. The Israeli Coast Guard and the IDF's Navy have not exactly said so, but it seems that as the previous flotilla was intercepted by the Israeli regime, it may be very likely that this is going to be the case here. Now, despite challenges, the coalition aims to ensure that the aid reaches the Palestinians without interference. With millions worldwide backing their cause, the coalition demands governments uphold international law and ensure safe passage into Gaza. South African politician and human rights activist Manla Mandela, the grandson of Nelson Mandela, who has also joined the Freedom Flotilla bound for Gaza, has asserted that Israel's intended blockade of the aid ship would violate international law. He underscores the activists' resolve to challenge Israel's blockade and siege of Gaza. Today, we speak to Ismail Mulla from the Palestine Solidarity Alliance of the PSA in South Africa, a member of the FFC team who joins us to shed some light on the mission and important work undertaken by the, of course, the Freedom Flotilla, the FFC. Assalamu alaikum, Ismail.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana, jazakallah for giving us the opportunity to share what is transpiring in terms of the flotilla. We know and we understand that the plight of the Palestinians is close to the hearts of our brothers and sisters here in South Africa.
Brother Ismail, the inspiration of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition and the organization mission to Gaza, I mean, talk us through it. How did it get ready? October 7th occurred, and then you saw a great awakening, a rejuvenation of the Palestinian cause and the freedom of the Palestinian people. And at what point did the idea now gain momentum to a point of today, the 21st? Going on to the 26th of April, that the Freedom Flotilla Coalition comes into being ready to set sail?
Just to put a little bit of history, the Freedom Flotilla Coalition is an organization that has come together ever since the siege on Gaza. So it's an institution that has been around for the past 17 years. We have had almost 40 attempts over the last 17 years to break the siege. The one that is highlighted in terms of international exposure is sadly the 2010 Mavi Marmara incident, where 9 of our activists were killed. So what we are attempting now is not something that is new to us. It is something that we have been doing all the time. We haven't had any attempts for the past 2 years, but that was just because of COVID and issues related to that. The planning for the current mission is already 1 year ago. So these missions are very, very complex. So firstly, we've got to acquire the ships. Secondly, we've got to then make sure that the ships are seaworthy. Thirdly, we got to then make sure that we have qualified crew people. Fourthly, we then need to be able to get the necessary permissions from the port authorities to let us sail. So it's a very long, arduous process in order to get to where we are. And we are a coalition of almost 30 countries. The current mission is unique in the sense that most of our previous attempts are smaller boats. Maximum people on the water are between 25 and 30. Mm. Obviously, what transpired on October 7th has boosted the interest in terms of what we do, and hence the current people that we have that are in Istanbul at the moment are almost 1,000 people. 300 of them are representatives of international countries, almost 45 countries represented.
Ismail, one of the major challenges, of course, that a flotilla of this size will face, or anybody setting sail, is the necessary permissions and the ability to navigate, the challenges from governments, etc. Thus far, how has the host government, I suppose in this case is Turkey, and, you know, the onward areas and regions that you plan or the flotilla plans to set sail through, how have they been by way of cooperation, by way of understanding, and have they been supportive of the cause? I know they have verbally said they're supportive of the cause, but have they backed it up with supporting the flotilla?
The reality is that the current flotilla was supposed to have already left 10 days ago. We've been trying to get cooperation from the port authorities to allow us to sail, and time is just going on. So we have made a decision that tomorrow morning we will proceed with our launch. If there is going to be any action from the port authorities, we will deal with it at that point. But we made a decision that we will tomorrow embark on our mission. In terms of the direction that we take, it's a straight line to Gaza. We don't have to go to any other ports. In terms of sailing, it will take us maximum 4 days to reach Gaza. But in terms of, again, our previous experiences, when we come to about 20 or 30 nautical miles from the coast of Gaza, we are intercepted in international waters. Our crew and all our participants go through a very stringent, non-violent training process so that when we are attacked, we do not put any resistance, because the resistance then inflames the situations, and we don't want people to get hurt, and we don't want people to lose their lives. So non-violence is a very powerful mechanism that we instill, and this is the last 7 or 8 days that our people are waiting for this mission to take off. We keep reinforcing this, and we go through live role plays so that our participants are aware what to expect and how to react.
In regards to the role of civil society institutions, official Palestinian authorities and international grassroots organizations, I mean, these people here, this thousand that you mentioned, Ismail, they come from all backgrounds. And yes, we may know of, well, Mandla Mandela, because he's from here, from South Africa. He's a long-time activist for the rights of displaced people, especially the Palestinian cause. He's no stranger, you know, to the campaign itself. They maybe others as well, but the representation that is shown in those 1,000 people that are currently there in Turkey, as well as all those who are part of the support crew. I mean, there are many who are not actually on the flotilla itself, but who may lend a working hand, and they may be in their own offices somewhere. Where do they come from? How broad-based are these organizations to give us an understanding of why it's truly a global effort?
The membership of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition has 18 countries. America is represented. France is represented. Great Britain is represented. New Zealand is represented. Australia is represented. Morocco is represented. So, you know, Brazil is represented. We have an international kind of coalition that is the founding members of this mission. But if we look at the current mix of the participants at the moment, we have representatives from countries that are not even part of the FFC, for argument's sake. We have people there from Russia. We have people there from New Zealand. We have people there from Africa, Ethiopia. We have people there from Nigeria. These countries are not part of the FFC. The critical thing here is that these are ordinary people who are prepared to take a very big risk to their own persons because of the belief that they have in terms of the right, in terms of what they are doing, And the fact that they acknowledge that no price is too high, no price is too high to sacrifice in order to alleviate the suffering of the people in Palestine.
Brother Ismail, the Palestine Solidarity Alliance, and you know, as a longtime member of the FFC team, what's the contribution of the of the local Palestine Solidarity Alliance? The members, the South African public, have they contributed? I know, of course, as we have mentioned before, members are there, South Africans are represented, but by way of aid, by way of assistance in kind or in cash, what has been the assistance of the South African public towards the flotilla?
We have been going on a campaign for the last 2 years in terms of collecting funds to break the siege on Gaza. And we then take those monies and we hand it over to our head office and they then buy the goods. Last year, we had a very, very successful campaign where we donated an ambulance through the vehicle of the FFC, the Freedom Flotilla Coalition, with the assistance of Miles of Smiles. So an ambulance today costs you almost about 850,000 rand. Mm. We have a new campaign now where we are hoping to raise funds for not only ambulances, but also for tents. You are aware that at the moment, no ambulance, no tent, lot of basic necessities are not being allowed to go through.
So, of course, this aid, you're confident, of course, of Ismail, of it, reaching Gaza. Of course, one doesn't know what's going to happen on the water tomorrow, or even the day after. But, I suppose everybody is hopeful of at least getting that aid to the people in Gaza.
You know, the question that we get, and it's a question I get a lot of times, is people say, Ismail, this is almost your 40th mission. And every time, you have the same result and you know you're going to have the same result, but you keep trying. And we say to them that, we get our inspiration from our Palestinian brothers and sisters because they face challenges every day and yet they get up every morning to face the same challenge. So we get our inspiration from them. And as long as they are inspiring us, we remain firm.
Ismail, how is it possible to follow the movements of the FFC? I mean, is there any website? Is there a Facebook account? How often, of course, will it get updated? And is there maybe some sort of live feed that you could interact on a regular, everyday basis to the people who are on board?
Yes. There's Twitter accounts. There's Instagram accounts. There's Facebook accounts. All you got to do is just search for Freedom Flotilla and go to the Freedom Flotilla website and you will find that the information is all there and these are updated as and when information becomes available. So we have a press team that is keeping us updated at all times. The other thing also is that we have what we would call a virtual boat to Gaza. This is a website that we've created for people that would support the initiative but do not have the time or the money or the health to actually go onto a physical boat. And here they can go to the website boattogaza.com and they can register their name and they will then become a virtual passenger. So we are hoping that once the boat leaves the port and our participants are on their way to Gaza, we will then start acknowledging that although we've got 1,000 people in the water, we have almost 2,500 people that are also sympathetic to what they are doing, and they are virtual passengers. So those that want to be part of this, it's very easy for them to log onto this website and become a passenger virtually.
Ismail Mullah, shukran jazakumullah khairan for joining us on Radio Islam International with that update. Certainly, we will be looking forward to it. As inshallah, if everything goes according to plan, what time tomorrow, the 26th of April, does the flotilla plan to leave the port?
8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Istanbul time.
Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it successful, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring relief to the people of Palestine. And may that siege be broken. Ismail Mullah, shukran jazakumullah khairan for keeping us updated, and we certainly will be reaching out to you in the days ahead.
Inshallah. Jazakallah for having us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.